First of all, thanks for coming out. And the other thing is, you don't have to believe anything that you hear the Course says. You don't have to believe anything, welcome it, accept it, or anything like that. And if you hear something that works for you and is helpful to you, use it. And if you hear something that's not that way, then I suggest not using that. Okay. Development of trust. First, you must go through what might be called a period of undoing. This need not be painful, but the period of undoing usually is so experienced as painful. It seems as if things are being taken away. It's rarely understood initially that their lack of value is merely being recognized. How can lack of value be perceived unless the perceiver is in a position where he must see things in a different light? You're not yet at the point where you can make the shift entirely internally, and so the plan will sometimes call for changes in what seems to be external circumstances. These changes are always helpful. When the teacher of God or the teacher of love has learned that much, then you go to the next stage. Okay, so I'm trying to develop trust. Then you're going to go through a period of undoing. It'll look like some things are being taken away, but it's not that they're being taken away. It's just that they're no longer valuable, because if you're getting ready to make a change into a new direction, it's obviously that the old stuff got to go. Okay? But what the Course is always talking about as the old stuff that has to go is really our internal perception of fear. Because the Course is basically talking about perception. So the thing that it's saying to us is that when we make a change internally, then there's usually no need to have a lot of external stuff happen to you. And if you're a person that it looks like it's a lot of stuff going on externally in your experience, from a Course perspective, a metaphysical perspective, it probably means that you are creating circumstances that will make you go ahead and change, because you won't go ahead and change on the inside. So if you won't change on the inside, then the plan will call for what appears to be external circumstances. So sometimes people that it looks like they're going through a lot of drama all the time, in some cases it's just a person that's resisting going through an internal shift all the time. And so they set up situations where they have to force themselves to make the change, because they won't make it on their own. Okay, and you know from your own life which one of those camps you fall in, and you also know from your life which area of your life you fall in that camp right now. Okay, so the most important thing to recognize if we want to go to the next level would be that every change that we're going through is helpful. That every change that you're going through right now is helpful. Every change that you're going through right now is helpful. Every change that you are going through right now is helpful. Every change you are experiencing right now is helpful. Every change is helpful. Every change is helpful. When he says, when we've learned that much, then we're ready for the next stage.
Every change.
Every change. Not only is it helpful, it's saying it's always helpful.
Always.
It's always helpful. Now, do I feel like that? Hell no. No, I don't feel like everything I go through is helpful, but that doesn't have anything to do with the truth or the falsity of something. It has nothing to do with whether or not I believe it. You know, I used to believe that things weren't true unless I believed it. So I would listen to people and I would go, oh, I don't believe that, so it can't be true. And the truth is, the truth doesn't have anything to do with our beliefs. That's what's so cool about it. That it's not like us. We change from day to day, hour to hour, week to week. I'm so glad God and the truth and what's real isn't like us. That we would have no stability anywhere. We're going to do 100 moves a day. You know, so I'm glad that there is something that I can depend on that doesn't have anything to do with my fear, my belief, how I see it, how I feel about it. And the Course is saying that the one thing that's true is that you are loved, and you are loved, and that you deserve happiness, and you deserve peace, and you are free, and you are powerful, and whether you like it or not, nothing you can do can ever change that. So when we go, I'm ready to develop trust, I'm ready to get in touch with my spiritual guidance, I'm ready to get in touch with the love that's me, I'm ready to get in touch with the power that I am, then I have to develop trust in the universe. I have to develop trust in something that's greater than my own ego, something that's greater than my own personal learning. If I'm talking about spiritual awakening, spiritual awakening is not something you can pull off by yourself. So, in spiritual awakening, it's nothing but recognizing that you are the unlimited child of God, and that you are not weak, and that you are powerful, and that you do create your reality, and that you are not a victim, and that there's nothing that's happening to you that you are drawing to yourself through your own consciousness, your own feelings, your own thoughts, your own emotions, and your own beliefs. That you're more powerful than you can imagine. And so we deserve to be sustained by the love of our Creator. We deserve to be sustained by the love of God. We deserve to have a harmonious, peaceful, prosperous, happy life. Don't you think?
Yes.
Okay. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is I haven't developed trust. So I need so if I want to develop trust, the first thing I should go and say right now, Earl, whatever's happening in your life right now, whatever changes are going on right now, those changes are helpful. I'm going to declare it helpful. I might not feel like it's helpful. I might not want to look like it's helpful, even though I don't know what would be the advantage of me. I don't want to look at it like it's helpful since it is happening. You know what I'm saying? It's like whatever changes you're going through are happening, so there really wouldn't be any benefit in not being willing to see it as helpful since it actually is happening. So I wish you could tell me the benefit of not looking at it like it's helpful since you are going through it. Yeah. You know, if I was to say to you right now, every change you're going through right now is making your life worse. How does that make you feel? Okay, but if I say all the changes that you're going through right now are helpful, they're bringing you to some level of awareness, they're teaching you something, they're making you aware more of who you are. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, empowered.
Right. So it's the same circumstance,
mm-hmm.
but notice just taking a new interpretation of it immediately gave you a...
That was helpful.
Well, it always gets people's attention, so I always get a chance to find out when I got a call. So if you wondered what the whole premise of the course is, that was a perfect example of what I just did just then.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through whatever change you're going through in whatever area of your life that you're going through tonight. Each and every one of us are. And we got two choices. We can look at it as if it's somehow limiting us, or we can look at it as if it's somehow helpful to us. Okay, and if we're willing to look at it as if it's helpful to us, we're ready to go to the next step of developing trust. Didn't say I had to feel it, didn't say I had to believe it, didn't say I had to like it. It just said that that's the way it is. Okay? All right, good. All right, then it says, well, and he calls us teachers of God, which is the same as saying a demonstrator of love, because the Course teaches that a teacher is a demonstrator. A teacher isn't somebody that's talking it. A teacher is somebody that's walking it. You know? So whatever you're demonstrating is what you're teaching. And what you think you are is always determining what you're demonstrating. So you are showing up the way you think you are. I'm showing up the way I think I am. It's not really hidden. You know, the way you go about your experience is the way you think you are. Okay? So the Course is saying to us that if you feel anything about yourself other than love, you got a misperception of yourself. You're not seeing yourself right. If you're looking at yourself right now any other way other than just cool, peaceful, loving, then you're not seeing yourself correctly right now. That's all. It's not a sin. It's nothing to feel guilty about. You're just making a small error in your self-appraisal. I don't care how much proof you got. Isn't that the trip?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's something you was in a relationship with somebody, no matter how much you tried to put yourself down, they didn't buy it. You know, it's like, okay, you're free to say whatever you want to say about yourself, feel whatever you want to feel, mm-hmm. but I'm not buying it. I'm not supporting it. I'm not agreeing with it. I don't really think that's you, but I know it is necessary sometimes to express and vent and let it all out.
Mm-hmm.
But while you do that, I'm going to hold the light for you, which means I'm going to remember who you are while you're letting it all go. So you don't have to repress your feelings and emotions around me and pretend like you don't feel something that you feel. You can go ahead and let it flow through you, because the faster it flows through you, then on the other side of it, the Course says, it's all the love that you've ever wanted is behind that fear. So whatever that fear or upset is, if you could just let it go through, then on the other side of it is the peace that you're looking for. But instead of it letting it go through, we grab it and then we analyze it. I'm angry. I feel fear. That's just the way I feel right now. And it wants to pass through me, because that's what I'm telling myself. That's how I'm creating myself in this moment. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to grab that fear thought. I'm going to grab that anger thought, and I'm going to analyze it. I'm going to go back to, what was it all about? Where did it come from? Who caused it? Who's to blame? Did it go back to when I was in the third grade and I fell off on the playground? You know, I'm analyzing where. And then if I don't have time, because there's another one coming through, and I grab the other fear thought coming through, well, now I got another something I'm worried about. Well, I put this one over on the shelf. And then I do deal with this other thought. So anyway, so we end up having a museum of crazy. You know what I'm saying? And then so you're going from one fear, one hang up, one insecurity to another one. They're all categorized by mom, father, lover, mate, child. And the Course says you effectively die. Your life force effectively dies, because you're like a swamp now. You know, it's like still water. Nothing's moving. And then you just, your body reflects it, your energy reflects it, your life reflects it. You become non-magnetic. You feel defeated. And you don't know that. If you had just felt your anger, admitted you felt your anger or your fear or your depression, and just admitted that's what you felt in that moment, and knew that that was just a feeling, and feelings are just feelings, and the love is behind the feeling would have moved through, and you would be feeling great right now.
Wow.
Yeah. So when you make these changes, they're helpful. All right. So then he says the next thing that we're going to go through is going to be a period of sorting out. And that's always difficult, because having learned that the changes in your life are always helpful, he says now you must decide all things on the basis of whether they increase the helpfulness or hamper the helpfulness.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to find out is that many, if not most, of the things you valued before actually just hinder your ability to transfer what you've learned to new situations as they arrive. Because you value what is really valueless, you won't generalize the lesson for fear of loss and sacrifice, which means it takes great learning to understand that all things, events, encounters, and circumstances are helpful. It's only to the extent to which all events, encounters, and circumstances are helpful that any degree of reality should be accorded them in this world of illusion. The word value applies to nothing but what is helpful. If it's helpful, it's valuable. If it's helpful, it's valuable. If it's helpful, it's valuable. If it's helping me reach my goal, it's valuable. If it's delaying me in reaching my goal, it's not valuable. If I want to be more peaceful and more loving and happy, and I'm always hanging around people in situations and circumstances that keep me upset and depressed, they are not helpful. It's not helpful. It's valuable if it's helpful, and it's valuable if it's helping me move toward my goal. So the next thing you want to do is sort out what you want and then decide what's helpful. And if it's helpful, it's valuable. If I'm trying to learn how to be forgiven, and I got a friend that tells me you need to work on forgiveness and it's okay to work on forgiveness, that's helpful. If I'm trying to learn how to be more loving and forgiving, and I got a friend that's telling me to hold a grievance and how justified I am in the grievance and I need to stay mad, they aren't really being helpful in terms of moving me toward the peace that I'm seeking right now. So it's not a matter of bad or good. It's a matter of it's helpful or not. So we get away from bad and good and get into, is it helpful for me to attack you when I say I want to have a peaceful relationship with you? You know what I mean? Is it helpful? So is it helpful to focus on the truth if you say you want to change your consciousness and become a more spiritually awake being? Is it helpful to focus on love if love is what you say you want? And then is it helpful to focus on the fear and the grievance if it's love that you say you want and peace that you say you want? So what's helpful is what helps you move towards your goal. If your goal is to be upset, then it's not going to be helpful to do any kind of meditation, prayer, be around nice people and have a good time. That will not be helpful. If you're determined to be depressed and suicidal, you don't need to be around the party animals. It's not helpful. Okay? If you're going to be broke for the rest of your life and believe in lack, don't hang around anybody with savings. Because some people, they actually don't know it, but they got the goal to be miserable all the time. And we all know people like that. No matter what happens, they're always miserable. I don't care how good it gets. I don't care what gifts they get, how beautiful it is. They're always upset about something. So they actually get, of course, they actually get depressed when things go really good. Because that's making them wrong. But I'm saying my life is miserable and I got nice people in it, that's making me wrong. So that kind of explains why sometimes people actually get depressed when things start to go really good for them, because it's so opposite to the way that they've set everything up. And so the Course says, well, then when that happens, for your own good, your happiness must wait. So that means that actually everybody in here is as happy as they can be without freaking out right now. Isn't that depressing? You know, if the universe, if you would get more depressed if things went better for you, and the universe is about you not being depressed and afraid, then you are actually, and I'm actually experiencing the maximum amount of joy that I'm willing to allow myself in this moment. That's good to know, because then I know I'm not being, at least I'm not being deprived of my joys if the universe don't want to freak me out. Yeah, good. That's cool, you know. And I've been doing a darn good job of not being freaked out. What about you all? The universe has been so cooperative. Yeah. I tell you, once you get that everything is rooted in love, the stuff that looks like it's insane begins to even make more sense. You know, there's a line in a spiritual book that I read that says, you know, the universe of God always says yes. You know, so whatever it is you're focusing in on, it says, okay, yes. You know, things don't work out for me, yes. Nothing goes right for me, yes. I can never have a relationship that works, yes. My job sucks, yes. I don't like my car, yes. You know, my parents are a problem, yes. I deserve to be happy, yes. I deserve peace, yes. I deserve to let go of all the limitations in my life, yes. I deserve to have abundance, yes. I deserve to have a loving relationship, yes. I deserve to have some sweet potato pie, yes. The universe always says yes. You know, so what are you getting it to say yes to? What is the mantra that you have that you're telling yourself all day long? Because your ego is nothing but your own internal dialogue to yourself. You're living what you're telling yourself behind everything you tell everybody else. That's your life. Your life is the conversation you're having in your head with yourself all day. I can say I like all of you all, and in my mind I can be saying I don't like none of you all. Okay, that idea that I don't like you is what's teaching me. I'm teaching myself not to like people. It doesn't matter what I said to you. I'm going to have to experience my internal dialogue to myself. So kind of be aware of the two conversations that we have a tendency to have, which is the conversation we have outwardly with people and then what we're really saying in our minds that they don't hear us saying, because that's what's really being communicated at a telepathic level. That's also what's being communicated to us. It becomes more of our own consciousness. That's why sometimes when you try to be nice to people and they respond, you know, like I said, you really don't like somebody and then you try to be nice to them and then they respond and feel nasty, then you get mad. Right? But the truth is you didn't like them when you were trying to be nice. You were trying to be nice because you didn't like them, but you thought you should be nice. And what they were picking up on telepathically was, you don't like me, and you're just saying something nice. And so they were really responding to what you were really feeling, not to what you were putting out there. And that's what's happening all the time. That's why sometimes people treat you nicer than you think you deserve to be treated, because they're tuning in to the person that you really are in your heart, which in some cases might not be evident in your personality. And then you'll go, dog, I wonder why they're being so nice to me. Well, it's because you got a loving energy that pervades your being, even though your personality itself may not think it's true at all. You know? And then some people who are legends in their own mind, they're wondering why they don't get the adulation, because they think they're so great, but if they're feeling superior to everybody else, that's a form of attack. And so people are responding to what they really are feeling, regardless of what's happening on the outside, which is great. So whatever you're going through right now, is it helpful according to this that we don't have to believe?
Yes.
What would the, now ask you again, what would be the advantage of not believing what you're going through is helpful? Anybody care to share with me what would be the advantage of that? Is that clear? All right. All right, so the third stage through which you must go can be called a period of relinquishment. And if this is interpreted as giving up the desirable, it will engender enormous conflict.
Yeah.
Few teachers of love escape this distress entirely. There is, however, no point in sorting out the valuable from the valueless unless the next obvious step is taken, which is to give up the valueless. If I've sorted out what's valuable from what's not valuable, well, I need to take the next step. I need to stop doing the stuff that's not valuable. Right? And so he says, therefore, the period of overlap is apt to be a period in which you feel called upon to sacrifice your own best interests on behalf of the truth. It looks like the truth is asking you to give up something that you're really not ready to give up yet, and that's why I resist it. A lot of people don't get on the spiritual path until they think they're too old and want to do anything with their body. Mm-hmm. Because being is okay to settle down and be spiritual. You know, I got all my sinning out of my system. So I'll wait till I hit the upper tier of age, and all of a sudden I become real spiritual. Because if I start being spiritual in the 20s, then there's some stuff I know I like to do. I'm not gonna be able to do no more. People have a tendency to associate spirituality with sacrifice. Yeah. Spirituality which you can't play, you can't party, you can't have a good time, you can't. And so it looks like sometimes the truth is asking us to give up our own best interests. Like if the truth says love is freedom and you think love is total possession, then to practice the truth will look like you've got to give up something that's still desirable to you, which is your desire to possess another person. Sometimes it looks like the truth is asking us to give up our own best interests. Or for instance, it'll say, I need you to learn how to surrender to your higher self and follow the guidance of your higher self. Well, that looked like there's a sacrifice when I always want to be in charge of myself every second and just do it the way I want to do it without asking for guidance. So it seems like it's not in my own best interest to do that level of trust, that level of surrender. Those are just some examples. If not, everybody would be rushing to everything that has something to do with the truth. Why is there not a great enthusiasm about the truth? Why is there not a great enthusiasm about the idea of a higher power? Why is there not a great enthusiasm about any of this stuff? Because at some level, I must believe it's not going to benefit me. Or somehow or another, I got to make some kind of sacrifice to do it. So the Course is going to get rid of that, because in order to develop trust, he says that you've got to realize it's totally impossible to have to give up what you really desire for the truth. That's the first belief that a person must get. First we have to get all changes are helpful. If it's helpful, it's valuable, then I need to sort things out, and the stuff that's not valuable, I need to let it go. The person's not valuable, I need to let them go. The relationship is not valuable, I need to let it go. The thought that's not valuable, I need to let it go. The thing that makes me miserable, I need to let it go. I need to let it go. And I need to understand that I'm never going to be asked to sacrifice my own best interest. I need to get really clear. There's nothing about this path that asks me to give up what I truly desire. And then he goes on to say, when you realize that, and you really do give up what's valueless, you really do let go of the thing that's really not valuable to you anymore, it says the next thing we're going to find out is where we anticipated grief, we're going to find a lightheartedness, a happy lightheartedness instead. And where we thought something was asked of us, we're actually going to find that something is going to be given to us. We don't realize that actually you're not going to be called upon to sacrifice. You're actually going to receive a gift.
Wow.
So contrary to giving up something, what's really about to happen is you're getting ready to receive something.
Wow.
Really great. Any questions, any comments about anything I said so far? Any ahas? Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to turn off your analyzer?
All you have to do is focus on what you should be doing. instead of analyzing it. It's like, oh, it's like what I should be focusing on is the idea that every change that I'm going through is helpful. I should substitute a thought of gratitude. I should focus on what I'm grateful for. I should be expressing some level of creativity. I should be doing something that gives me joy. I could be meditating. I could be reading. I could be occupying my mind at all times with things that move me in the direction of what I want. I could be doing my workbook lesson, which tells me how to deal with things from day to day, moment to moment. What helps with the analyzing part is to realize that it doesn't work. That the analyzing part isn't going to achieve the goal that you're trying to achieve, because actually what the analyzing part does is destroy the meaning of everything you just heard. It's like when somebody hears an answer, they'll start to analyze it, and by the time they get to analyze it, what usually happens is that they confuse themselves to the point that they don't want to use the idea. So the Course says that when you analyze, you're really just breaking it down into little bits to the point that it doesn't mean anything to you anymore. So really the analyzation is just a defense against using the new information. It's a way to keep a person from actually moving ahead with what they're receiving. Because the book is constantly telling us about the tricks that the mind plays to keep you deceived and to keep you in fear. Because, see, the premise is there's a part of us that doesn't believe we deserve to be happy because we bought into the idea of either guilt or sin or not being enough or being flawed. And that part of us has an existence that it wants to keep going. And the way it keeps that existence going is to constantly give us justifications for feeling some kind of a fear or some kind of insecurity or some kind of upset. So when you come to a class like this, that's about getting you in touch with your power, the part of you that's used to being in charge that makes you miserable, it immediately tries to do everything in its power to keep you from doing any of the stuff that you're hearing. And the main way it does it is to make you analyze it rather than apply it. So instead of applying, like for instance, I could analyze the statement, all things are helpful, or I could go, you know what? I'm going to make a decision right now that everything that's happened in my life right now is somehow benefiting me, even though I don't know how. See, I've made a decision. But once I made a decision, there's no need to analyze, because we tell ourselves we're analyzing it so we can make the right decision. So if you go straight to the decision and go, I accept this as the decision I'm going to make, there's no need to continue to analyze it and destroy the meaning of everything. But the old self wants you to stay in that confusion and disorientation, so it does the analyzation trip. That's one of the reasons it's always easier to help people who have reached their limit. Because somebody that's reached their limit is someone that's through analyzing and they've made the decision that they're going to do something different. The mere fact that you're analyzing could be an indication that you haven't reached your limit yet. That's why we can sit back and think about what we're going to do rather than do it. Yeah. So the analyzation really is a way of keeping from applying the truth from the perspective of the ego, from the perspective of the part of the person that is still feeling fear, that still doesn't know that they're a part of God, that still has not made that connection that you can create yourself and that you came from somewhere and you couldn't possibly have intelligence unless you came from intelligence and it wasn't a result of just some kind of a one-second creation or just an evolution, that you came from something that's greater than what you can possibly imagine. And it's not what we were taught. Because what we were taught, generally what we were taught was that God was a human being in the sky who arbitrarily kicked butt depending on what you did right or wrong, and there was a few of us that was okay and was going to make it and a few of us weren't. You know, so the whole concept of God was warped to even begin with. And those of us who even as children could not buy into that concept, we were ostracized and seen as if we were the ones that were crazy. That's why I don't spend any time in my class trying to convince anybody about not believing what the world taught them. If you still want to go with that, then that's perfectly innocent for you to do that. But why would you be a part of something that's saying, let's look at it another way, if you really want to defend what you know doesn't work because you've been doing it all your life and everybody you know has been doing it, And if it really worked, it would have worked by now.
Oh, yeah.
It's like all of us know that, but because we have some sacred cows,
yeah,
in some areas we still want to keep going, then we'll find a part of us that want to defend. Like the idea of not looking at things as bad or good, but understanding, well, is this helpful, is this not helpful? Or the idea of going, yeah, I'm going through changes in my life. We all go through changes, but I'm going to declare that these changes are helpful. I'm going to keep in mind tonight that nothing that Spirit would tell me to do would be me having to give up something that's really desirable or something that's really important to me, that I'm only being asked to give up the things that I no longer see as valuable and the things that I no longer want anyway. So how could it be a sacrifice to give up something I don't want? It could only be a sacrifice to give up something I do want. So if I'm sitting up here saying, I don't want pain, I don't want attack, I don't want lack, and then the court says, okay, if you don't want it, then it's gonna, you got to let it go. And then you go, well, I don't want to let it go. Well, then don't. And that's the way the universe responds. Well, then don't. If you want to keep that relationship and you're not ready to give it up or change your perception of it, then don't. But your mind said, but I do need to give it up. No, if you really saw it as not helpful, nobody would have to convince you that you need to give it up. Evidently, you still have something in there that you want to learn, something you want to experience, something you still want to go through with that person, with that job, with that circumstance, or you would walk. Because at the point you really reach your limit, you don't let anything stop you from going to where you need to go, because you know that you have to have some happiness and some power and some joy in your life. And you also realize if you don't give it to yourself, nobody else is. That's another thing that happens when you start to wake up spiritually. You realize that you've got to take responsibility for your own happiness, and there's nobody else that's going to be responsible for that. And that the most crazy thing we do is go around looking for people who are going to make us happy. That's the absolute most insane thing that people do. And it's like, no, you can't attract somebody that's different from you. So if you're not happy with yourself, if you don't love yourself, if you're not acknowledging yourself, you're not going to draw somebody to you that's going to actually do that either, really. And if they did do that and you didn't love yourself, you wouldn't appreciate it. You sabotage it and they leave you, or you break up with them, or y'all separate. Because if you don't care about yourself, you can't hang around somebody that cares about you very long. That's just a universal law. You see what I mean? So it's like, so the truth is the opposite of what we were taught. You know, and all of us know it, but we pretend it like we don't. We all know it. Everybody in here knows everything I'm talking about. That's why you're hearing it. Because you created this night, and you created this class, and you created me being here. You created it. It's your reality. If I'm sitting here, you created this black dude saying this crazy stuff. Y'all created this. Show you how creative you are. You know what I'm saying? You created this. I'm not here for any other reason other than your consciousness drew me to you. Mm-hmm. And it would only draw me to you if I was saying something that was in your mind, something that you already know, but it just may not be in your conscious awareness. That's cool. That's very cool. Because you manifest as somebody who wants you to have peace, wants you to be safe, wants you to be happy, is not condemning you. And so I probably won't see you very often. Which I don't.
Twice a week is enough.
Exactly. You have to like ease into support, ease into constant acknowledgement, ease into you. It's a trip. It's like you think you want it all the time, but you can even know where you can get it and don't make sure you hear it. You know, it's like you can know the people who always give it to you and won't call them. We all do it. But yet we'll say, I want to be happy. I want to be, as if that option isn't available. It's hilarious. It's not but four or five people making you miserable at the most. At the most. But somebody tell me they like it sucks, I say, okay, Jesus, okay. Tell me the two or three people, if it's that many. And I say, well, it's my boss, it's my boyfriend, it's my... That's what I thought. Your whole life is crap because of five or six people. Think about that. Just think about that for a minute. Because your personal relationships, that's who we see as being our world, because that's who we spend the most time with. You been there, right? So the minute you have something going wrong with your personal relationship, you go, my life right now, I'm really having a hard time. And the truth, you're talking about two or three people, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. You know, so, and then most of those are not people that you got to be around. Like, you might be a child, you might not have a choice, you sentence yourself to that lesson for a certain number of years. But, but most of the people in your life are there by choice. Even when people mention, well, what about your relatives? The truth is, you don't spend as much time with your relatives as you spend with everybody else. Don't even come with that relative stuff. You know, you're talking about visiting them on a Sunday for an hour and you can't stand your mama, something like that. You know what I'm saying? If that's your case. But you're not talking about no whole lot of time. We're not talking about a whole lot of time. If you tell me your most miserable, my boss, I can't say, well, you see your boss maybe 8-9 times a day or something. You know, most time your boss is crying about his boss. You know what I'm saying? He's doing the same thing you're doing in his office. When I was in management, I was complaining too, but I was just doing it behind closed doors. So everybody's the same. Everybody's the same. None of us are different. We just do the same things at different times. And because we do the same things at different times, we think we're different from each other. Today I'm happy, today you sad, tomorrow you happy, you know, I'm sad. And then you say we are different. No, we're not. The only thing that makes us think we're different is time. That's it. And it's an illusion. It's something we made up. We can move it forward, move it backwards. You do it every spring and fall. Time is an illusion too. It's just something we agree upon. We all agreeing it's 7:45. That's right. He says, once we begin to understand that everything we're feeling is coming from the agreements and the interpretations and the beliefs that we have, we actually know the secret to our freedom if we would have the guts to really use it. If you were to really recognize that everything you're doing in your life is coming from your past learning and your past beliefs and those values that you're hanging on to that you know you don't want no more, and you go, you know what, tonight I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to really take myself in a different direction. And I'm not going to wait for anybody else to do it, and I'm not going to look for anybody else's approval, and nobody else has to pat me on the back and say I'm doing the right thing. I'm going to do what my heart tells me to do. Then the universe kicks in the gears, like putting it into drive from neutral, and you'll start to have a subjective reality that will blow your mind, because you'll see things happening to you in synchronicities and things taking care of you and people coming in your life and things starting to work out, things starting to take care of themselves that you've been trying to deal with for years and years and years. So once you make a stand for your peace, for your happiness, for your joy, and you say, I'm not going to put anybody else's happiness before mine. I'm not going to put anybody else's happiness before mine. It's got to be at least equal. It's got to be mine and yours, not yours and not mine. See, that's different, because then the people that are selfish are going to tell you you're selfish. Mm-hmm. The people who are really selfish are going to say you really selfish. Mm-hmm. And then if you need approval, then you're going to back down and you're going to compromise and you take yourself back into hell in fear again. And that's what happens when you need approval. When you need somebody else to say you're okay. And so if you do need somebody else to tell you you're okay, it's nothing wrong with that. Just make sure you're around somebody that tells you you're okay. You know, it's not a really tough, that's not tough either. Come here, I'll tell you you're okay. I'll tell you okay whether you get love offering or not, you know. You're okay. I'm proclaiming by the love of God. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right no matter what, you know. You'd be too scared. You can't be happy and do what you want to do with your life if you think you're on your own taking care of yourself. It'd be too frightening. Because there's too many unknown variables that you can't control. That infinite intelligence knows exactly what to do. Divine mind knows exactly what to do. You know. So the Course says, resign as your own teacher. He says, what you're sure to do if you honestly assess the results of you teaching yourself. He says, that'll take care of that problem right there. If you just be honest about, you know, your teaching job, you'll be going, you know, I think I will resign tonight. So I'm going to resign tonight. What about you?
Yeah,
me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's time to do it. This is a brand new year. And things can be great in 2008, you know. All this means is just another chance. We have another opportunity to make a choice. We have every day, actually. But, you know, this is more first of the year. It sounds really important. So it's important. And so if you're going to make vows, I'm going to give you a few vow tips. So that your old self will not use your vows to crucify you. Because your old self would love you to set goals that you don't achieve so you can feel bad about yourself and take yourself further into separation. So here's what you do. You only set vows that are easy to do, and you want to do them.
Mm-hmm. That's profound.
It is.
Those profound things are simple like that. You know, I used to think I had a problem with patience and discipline. I thought I just couldn't follow through on things. I couldn't stick to something. And I used to just put myself down for that until I realized that most of the things I was trying to do were not really what I wanted to do. They were what I was taught I was supposed to want to do. And so I was really acting out the script that society had set down for me, which wasn't a reflection of, I was like in college being a business major, when the truth was I was a musician. And I should have been a music major. But I was told that you need to take a business to get a business degree so you can make more money. You know what I'm saying? But that was hell, because my heart wasn't in it. You see what I'm saying? But the minute you do something that your heart is into, nobody has to make you do it because it's inspirational for you to do it. And so you just do it without anybody. Nobody has to make me read the course or make me come to the class or make me do any of these things, because everything I do all day is what I want to do. So I found out I'm very consistent with what I love. I'm totally inconsistent with doing stuff that I don't. And people say, well, you know, some things, you know, you just have to do that you don't really want to do. Of course, that's the way you set it up when you didn't love yourself. So until you change your mind, of course there's going to be some things you have to do that you don't want to do, because your old mind was based on that attitude. So you can't judge the truth of what I'm saying by your present condition when your present condition is based on all your old learnings. You know, you have to, you know what I mean? So don't compare what you want with what you've already made, because what you've already made was just a reflection of decisions that you made at other now moments just like this. So you just go, that's where I used to think, and this relationship is a result of that, or this job, or this situation, or whatever I'm going through. That's the result of my old mind. I'm not going to compare that to what can happen for me coming out of my new mind right now. As a matter of fact, I can use what happened in out of my old mind to show me that I do have the power to create, because I created that. So all I have to do now is change the direction of that I place my attention, and I need help. So I'm going to join with other people of a like mind who want to go in the same direction I want to go to help me stay strong, because I'm fragile now, because I haven't completely got into this new idea of who I am, and that old one is really, really strong. So what I really need to be around is people who want the same thing I want as much as I possibly can. I'm going to choose that. It doesn't mean I don't like the people who I love who do the old stuff. It's just they're not helpful right now in terms of what I'm trying to do. That's all. You're not bad. You're just not helpful. You know, if I'm trying not to drink and you offer me a bottle of vodka, you're not bad. You're just not helpful. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're not bad. You're just not helpful. So what I need to do is I need to get strong and rooted in myself, and to the point I'm so centered in my self-love that I would not do anything that would make me feel bad about myself or make me feel afraid. Then you could drop me right in the middle of people who were having fun, drinking, whatever they were doing. I wouldn't be judging and condemning them, and I also wouldn't be tempted because I'm centered in myself. But you have to give me time enough to get centered in myself. And if I've been doing that and I'm trying to do something different, then I need to put myself around helpful people. And helpful people for me right now would be people who would not tempt me to do the thing that's the opposite of what I say I want to do. Because I should have become strong enough and rooted enough in my new self that then I can be around everybody again and not feel limited at all and be able to bring love into that experience that I'm in no matter what. And that's the way you do it. You see, it's really not complicated, but you just have to love yourself enough to do it. And I've been teaching for 30 years and have seen many, 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 many people. And it's rare that you meet people that actually are committed to the truth as much as they are to the illusion. That's rare. Most people just want to get the truth because they're dealing with a temporary problem that they want to get solved. It has nothing to do with wanting to wake up to who they really are as a spiritual being. You know what I mean? It's like, I got a headache, give me the aspirin. As soon as the headache gone, I'm not looking at the aspirin no more. Yeah, so I focus on my spiritual growth whenever I'm in crisis. I don't focus on my spiritual growth when I'm not in crisis, so the crisis either doesn't show up, or if it does show up, I know how to transform it instantly. And that's the advantage of focusing on the truth when you don't have to, is that it'll be there for you when those situations come up, rather than trying to pretend you got some faith that you don't have at the last moment when you're totally terrified and you know you don't have no faith, and then you get mad because things don't change. It's like, why should they? You really haven't invested anything in this state of mind. I tell you what, there's not many people that's going over a cliff in a car that say, help me God, that still don't crash at the bottom of the ravine. You know, you don't get that faith in the last second after you go over the cliff. you build that faith up through your own personal connection and your own personal work and your own to the point that that's the way your consciousness is. So that connection is real for you, and then you get the benefit of it. So that's what I'm inviting you to do, to make the decision that this is the year you're going to decide that God's will for you is perfect happiness, that you're not here to suffer, you're not here to sacrifice, that this is supposed to be a creative playground that allows you to express yourself in ways you never dreamed of, not by yourself, supported and loved, and you're going to let go of the thoughts, feelings, emotions, beliefs, and relationships that constantly put you down, hinder you, or don't support who you are. If you just make that decision, you'll be moving in a direction that'll blow your mind in terms of what is about to happen for you. Yeah, and that's what all I have to say tonight. I think I said it quite enough. And we're gonna do the love offering, and then I'm gonna do a quick little thing right at the end, and then we get a chance to go back out in the lab and see how well we can practice into this thing we're talking about. Won't that be fun?
Yeah.
I'm doing an advanced mind training workshop, and you find yourself saying stuff like, "Well, you know, having a lot of pain builds character." Or if you work really, really hard, that's what makes you a better person. See, that's what the world taught you.
That which is to give light must endure burning.
Yeah. So when you tell yourself stuff like that and you're on fire, you shouldn't be complaining. You should be saying, great. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a person that says no pain, no gain, and your life is full of pain, you should be, like, delirious with joy right now. Because you said that it took pain for you to gain, and so you're getting the pain, so why are you complaining? That was the curriculum that you set for yourself. And so you're experiencing it, why are you complaining? If somebody tells you that you can have it easy and that you could be the witness for God on earth that God is love, that we were created by love and joy, and that your life could be an example of that so that people could see that it's possible, and then you go, well, no, you got to work really, really hard. You know, it's like, there's so many ways we see that's not true just at the level of the world. There are children that are born that don't have to work a day in their life. No, you know, it's not set up that everybody's got to work in order to have money. We already know that even at the level of the body, but we're still buying to that instead of realizing, no, that's not true, you got 2 minutes. No, there, you could be taken care of doing what you love to do. And you could draw to you a ton of support doing what you love to do, you know. And that's the truth, but it takes courage. You know, yeah. It's like people thought I was crazy when I decided to teach A Course in Miracles, this obscure book that most people have never heard of on a donation basis. You know, it's like, what? How are you going to live? You know, and it's like, well, 22 years later, I'm still living. And not only that, I've done what I want to do every day for 22 years. And I've met the most incredible people you could ever imagine in your life, and a lot of them are in this room right now.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, and I've never been late for rent. I've never missed a meal. I had lots of good loving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like nothing. I haven't lacked anything, but I'm totally committed to my relationship with God, and every day I put some energy into that before anybody ever sees me. I'm communing, I'm learning how to listen what you were saying, because it does get to the point when you learn how to tell the difference between the voice of spirit and your ego, that your inner self and your inner guide starts to talk to you as clearly as I'm talking to you right now. And you be told stuff like, Earl, you do this, you don't do that, this is what you need to be aware of right now. No, that's not the right person, that's not the cool, you know, that's all right, they're cool, but no, you know, you or anything you need to know, you'll find out, they'll send you the email by mistake. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you go, oh, that wasn't even meant for me, but I know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it has to be, what, would you use that to attack? No, because if I use it to attack, the universe won't keep giving me the information that I need to be safe. So you have to be willing to receive without trying to take vengeance. So people who I know don't like me would never know that I know they don't like me. Because it wouldn't help communication if I was attacking them. How would I know what you think and what you feel if you felt afraid to communicate with me? And wouldn't you feel afraid to communicate with me if I was arguing at you and attacking you for everything you're saying to me? I'm not going to tell you the truth if you're attacking me. You're not going to tell me the truth if I'm attacking you. So I got to be able to hear anything that's coming out of your mouth without attacking you, so that you will still feel safe enough to communicate. Then I know the best way to deal with you. If you're not afraid of me, I know the best way to deal with you, and then we can have peace together. So it does call for a different way of approaching life than what the world teaches you. And most people can't make that leap. Or the leap of going, I am responsible for my experience. I see myself as being 100% responsible for my experience. I don't see my father as being responsible, my mother being responsible, or you all of us being responsible, or society as being responsible, or what's happening in other countries as being responsible. I'm responsible for what's happening in my life. I am the creator of my experience, even when I don't understand it, even when I don't see how it happened. Yeah, I'm still the one doing it to me. And when I started to say that stuff to myself all the time, the drama started to drop. Never watch that. The people who were like, oh, you crazy, man. People are doing it to you. Those would be the ones that people would be doing it to. I would see it all the time. The person that was convinced that they were the victim, I would watch them become the victim over and over and over. So I could understand why they would feel that way. I didn't have a problem with understanding that they felt that way. They were creating it and they were experiencing it and it seemed right for them. But I want to end up with telling you one other thing to be on the lookout for is what I call the split mind. The split mind is this. The split mind is the part of you that can sit up here, and we can sit up here and hear all these thoughts about responsibility, joy, happiness, how I'm the one that's creating my reality, and I'm the one that should be more loving and kind, or I'm responsible for my experience. And as soon as I walk out that door, I go right back to blame consciousness, victim consciousness, and talk like I've never heard one single thing in here. Mm-hmm. So how what you live creates what you experience a lot more than what you just tell yourself philosophically. So I can say philosophically I'm innocent and I'm beautiful and I'm cool. Then I go out here and look at the world as if I'm still I'm a black man in America trying to make it through all past all the oppressive forces that are out there to stop me. And then that will become my reality. I don't care how much I read the course. Why? Because I'm reading this, but I'm not living my truth. You've got to unfold. You cannot separate the world from your truth. You can't go, well, this is good, but that's the world. The minute you do that, you'll have that dual reality. Mm-hmm. And that dual reality would be...
Sucks.
It sucks because it's up and down, 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 up and down. You know, I believe I created my reality, but I've got to toil on this job that I hate. Why? Because I just got to pay my bills. All right, so you're saying that it's your job that's paying your bills and not your consciousness and your relationship to spirit that's creating your prosperity. See the difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can. That was my first couple of years hanging out here, and I think directly one of the reasons why was because I wasn't doing the lessons, reading the book, and doing the thing.
Exactly.
I was hanging out listening, and I was walking out there and being confused, and it did suck because I was dragged back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, all over the place, and fighting with my head.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was a drag.
Yeah, it's not, if you don't follow up anything that you're doing with any kind of a symbolic physical act to show that you are sincere, you know you're just playing with yourself. Like you said, it wasn't until you started studying and reading and trying to apply the ideas that makes the difference, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I tell people, if it's not the course, whatever the thing is that inspires you, whatever the path, whatever the author, whatever the material, commit yourself to practicing what they're saying if they touch your heart. And it will make your whole journey so much easier because when you're trying to, you are in charge of your journey. Like the Course said, you are in charge of the journey, but that doesn't mean you don't have a guide. And we get that confused. Saying that you're in charge doesn't mean you necessarily know how to do nothing that you're in charge of. You know, I'm in charge of my spiritual awakening. Well, great. You know, or like you say, or like you go to a safari and you go, I'm in charge of finding the elephant herd. But you don't have the slightest idea where the elephant herd is, but you're totally in charge of the whole safari. That's true. You could be the guy that's in charge of the whole safari. But who are you looking for? Who are you calling? Who are you trying to get in touch with as fast as you can? The guy. You know, because then you feel comfortable. It's like when I was using my GPS the other night when I was going somewhere that I didn't know where I was going. I thought it was really interesting how it's such a trust thing in a way. Because like the GPS thing is like telling me, go 3 streets down and turn left on Alameda. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where I'm going. I'm just following the guidance. I didn't even have to know. But guess what? I got to my location. So I realized my understanding wasn't necessary. What was necessary was my willingness to follow the guidance and to trust the guidance that I was receiving. And that's all the course is about. It's about teaching you how to follow guidance. It's not another book that makes you smart enough to take care of yourself on your own. It's not. That's not the purpose of it. It's not another, can I make my ego really, really smart enough to take care of its life all by itself? That's the hard way. It'd be much easier for somebody to go, I'm going to direct you to the perfect relationship. I'm going to direct you to the perfect job. I'm going to direct you to the perfect state of mind. I'm going to direct you to enlightenment. Let me show you where that is. I'm going to send it right into your life. I like that. That's the way my life works. You know, and I like that. And I want to support other people in having that. And yeah, I got an ego, and yes, I'm learning my lessons, and sometimes I wake up and I wish I could just kick everybody in their ass. But that's what it is. But that's where human emotions are. You have those kind of feelings as a human being when you sometimes forget your spiritual identity. So big deal. Big friggin' deal. I didn't feel good all day. Isn't that surprising? That's the first time that's ever happened. It's so funny how we act like the feelings we have all the time are so shocking. You know, it's like, what's wrong with you? I'm upset.
Well, you know, you've been upset about 20 million times since you've been born.
But you ever kind of got to that's kind of the way you do it? But even it's like for example, you said, this is the big one. You know what I'm saying? I know the rest of them was minor upsets, but this is the big one here. This is the one, though. You just don't know. This is the real one this time. So y'all have fun out in the lab. God bless you. I'll see you next time.
Have fun.